Church at 6 o'clock. I mean, church hasn't even started until, doesn't start for another 10 minutes. Amen. Is that clock right? Good, it doesn't matter. I mean, we've given ourselves an extra 30 minutes, so, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, we've broken this up. We've had a few weeks over the last four, I think, where we've had a little bit of different schedule. So we've had a four-part series on stewardship. And we are in the third week, even though it's been a couple of weeks since we've been in here. But we're going to pick up reading in verse number 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And we'll get you out of here with the sun up tonight. So let's read, shall we? The Bible says, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Faithful. In week number one, we looked at the idea that stewardship is a privilege. It's a wonderful privilege that God has given to us, has called us to. He has given us a task. That task is to spread the gospel to every creature. He has cared for us, that is allowing us to do what He's called us to do in the command through that. The second week, we looked at the price of stewardship. Stewardship is going to cost you something. It's going to cost you your time. It's going to cost you your talents. It's going to cost you your treasure in that. Now, as you consider stewardship, we must consider, while we're looking at the privilege, while we're looking at the price, we've got to have a plan. And so tonight, I want to submit to you a plan for stewardship. How are we going to accomplish what God has called us to and what God has commanded us to? And while we know it's going to cost us something and we're going to have to give of something in that, let's look at the plan tonight. So let's pray together, and we'll look at a few different passages on the plan for stewardship. Let's pray together. Our Father, we love You. We thank You so much. And God, we come to You. We think of Kay's son Daniel tonight, that You would just be with him. She's been praying for him for some time to that he would find himself back in Your house. And so, God, may we together in unity tonight pray for that first. The physical infirmity, God, we're certain that You can do something with that. But, Father, without You getting a hold of his heart, and if it takes a physical infirmity to do that, Father, and if that's Your will, we pray that he would be responsive to it. And, Father, we pray that as we go through this message this evening, as You have called us to be Your stewards, stewarding the wonderful good news of Your Son, Jesus Christ, God, may we develop a plan within this thing. Help us. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. All right. Well, here we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to kind of springboard off of this. This is our main text verse here. Again, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. We're going to come back here in a little while, but I want you to go over to Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1. We're going to stay right here in the New Testament and go over just a few pages to your right there. You'll find Colossians chapter 1, and we are going to develop a plan, a strategic plan of attack on how we can be the best stewards that we can be. The first part of the plan is going to require that every member be strengthened. Every member being strengthened. Write that down if you're taking notes. We want to be strengthened. How are we going to be strengthened? Well, here in Colossians chapter 1, we'll begin reading verse number 1. The Bible says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren." Now, what is required of stewards? that he says, again, he says, to the saints and faithful brethren. So he's writing to stewards here, the faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God our Father and of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we have heard of your faith in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye have heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel which has come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth in you also, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which He hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. That's a lot of verses here, and I want to say much through this. And I want you to take note, especially though, in verse number 11, where the Bible says, strengthened with all might. God expects His children, His church, His stewards to be strengthened. Being strengthened in what? He tells us through this, if you'll go back just a couple of verses, He says, for this cause, in verse number 9, He says, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Since they heard what? Since they heard they got saved, since they had received the gospel back in verse number 5, since they had the truth, since they have been bringing forth fruit, since that time, He says, since we've heard it, we do not cease to pray for you and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will and the wisdom and spiritual understanding. Where do these things come from? The knowledge of His will, the knowledge of this idea, this spiritual understanding. Where does spiritual understanding come from? If we're going to be strengthened, as He says, and continues into verse number 10, that He says, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened. Where does the Christian, where does the believer find the strength to do what God has called us to do? Can I just tell you, first and foremost, that if we're going to be strengthened, we must be strengthened by and with and in the Word of God. It is the Word of God that we must be strengthened in. We're going to have to read it in order to grow in it in strength. If we're not reading it, it's not doing much. Notice this, the Word is, it's here. It's a living word. It's a powerful word. But if you just keep it and you just, I've got a Bible. How many brought a Bible tonight? Good. How many have it open? Even better. Amen. Look, if you don't open it, What's it doing for you? And let me say this, it's not the Bible's fault. Amen? I remember a time when I thought I would open my Bible. I know this is really where I was a teenager, so teenagers are weird. They're all looking at me like, why are you talking about us? Weird sometimes, but I would open my Bible, Brother Don, and I would stick it under my pillow before I went to sleep. And I would sleep, not on the Bible, but the pillow on the Bible, and thinking that I was going to get something out of it. Brother Scott, it didn't work. I got nothing. Not a zilch. Didn't get much. You say, oh, well, I got it open. So we leave it open. Sometimes you go into, and if you do this, I'm not down talking this at all. I think it's a good thing. But sometimes you'll go into someone's home and they'll have a Bible and it's opened up and it's laying on a table. And it's a centerpiece. And again, I think the Bible ought to be the centerpiece of our home. I think it ought to be the centerpiece of our lives. But again, if it's just open there and we don't ever pick it up and we don't ever look and see what it says, can I tell you what we're going to end up with is a bunch of weak, anemic, malnourished Christians. We need to be strengthened. God says if you're going to be a steward, let every member be strengthened. In order to be strengthened, we must have the Word of God. Notice again, he says, for this cause. What cause? David asked this question in 1 Samuel when he was getting ready to fight Goliath. He said, is there not a cause? Let me tell you something tonight. We have a cause. And the cause is the fact that people are dying and going to hell. That's the cause. And they must have the Word of God. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But how can they hear if no one tells them? And how can we tell them if we don't know what to tell them? You tell me. So he says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will. What are we doing tonight? We're trying to tell you what God's will is. God's will is for us to be strengthened in the Word of God, in His will. That's where we get our spiritual understanding from. It's required of stewards that a man be found faithful. It's what Corinthians said. And in verse number 10, he says that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Now we've looked at this in the last several weeks too, but let's just review here just real quick, pop quiz here. How do we please God? What does the Bible say that it is impossible to please God without something? Faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. If we're going to be strengthened, our faith must be strengthened. I remind you of this often. I want to remind you again, our faith is something that fluctuates. Our faith is something that is some days it is low, some days it is high, some days it's all in between. But our faith is something that we must use to please God, because it's the only way to please God. He says, being fruitful in every good work. Again, here he is again saying that we need to be increasing in the knowledge of God. Can I submit to you one more time that the only way we're going to get to know God is through this book right here. This book. Is how we get to know God. And as we get to know God, notice again in verse number 11, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power. Brother Scott played golf for the first time this weekend. And had a great time and did well. We were surprised. Is that correct? We weren't sure how he was going to do. I joked a little bit with him. I said, what are you going to do if somebody comes up to you at the golf course and asks what your handicap is? Golfers have a handicap, don't they, Ben? Mine's off the charts. But we joked a little bit about that. But he did very well. And he kept saying, he's like, I want to do this again. I want to do this again. And not only did he say, I want to do it again, but he started researching online. Did he tell you about this, Brittany? Okay, good. Okay. I don't want to let the cat out of the bag if you haven't told her. But this is a perfect illustration, I promise. He says, there's a club that you can buy. That you set it, you set some type of dial or something, and if you want to hit the ball 200 yards, you can set it to go 200 yards, and you hold it, and you push a button, and the bottom of the club goes back, and then hits it. A swingless club. I could use that thing. No questions. We'll take those after, okay? Thank you, though. A swingless club. He said, it's only $1,100. We're going to take a collection tonight. No, I'm kidding. woo-hoo. But a swingless club. Now, I'm illustrating that for this purpose. God says, did you catch that? He says, we need to be strengthened. Okay? Strengthened with all might according to your glorious power. What? Your glorious power. It's all about you and what you can do. Whose Bible says your? Whose Bible says his? Who don't know because you don't have your Bible open? Don't point your brother out like that. His power. You picturing the club? He's going to hold it. All we got to do is hold it. It's his power. Amen? It's his. We get to do this in his power, not our own. But yet we still need to be strengthened, and we're strengthened in his power. Notice this. Unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Man, I tell you, you can be a steward with joy. If we're strengthened for it, we're doing it in his power, not our own power. We can be strengthened in this thing. Unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Why in the world would we need patience and long suffering? Maybe, just maybe, because we're going to deal with people. We need patience and long-suffering to deal with people with joyfulness. Serving the Lord can be a joy. It should be a joy. And let me tell you, if it's not a joy for you, let me just fill you in on something. You're doing it in your power, not his. If serving the Lord is not a joy for you, and you say, well, I don't enjoy this so much, maybe sometimes, but not all the time. If you don't have joy all the time, it's because you're doing it in your power and not his. Plain and simple. So you may say here and say, Pastor, you're telling me you always have joy in this thing? No, I don't. Because there's times when I do it in my power. I do. And fail and get frustrated and get irritated. And it's at that moment that I have to stop and say, he's going to give the power. Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us. Still talking about God here. God who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us under the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. You see, we need to be strengthened in the Word with his power. That's the first step of the plan. That is the first step. How are we going to do this? How am I going to be a steward? Well, I'm going to do it in his power, not mine. And be strengthened in this. We're going to do this together. We can be strengthened in the Word of God. Notice, I want you to go back in verse number 9. He says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you." So if we're going to study and learn the Word of God, can I tell you that we must learn to be strengthened through prayer and supplication. Now check this out. Not only will you be strengthened, but we can help strengthen others through prayer and supplication. Typically, here's what we'll do in our prayer life. We'll say, "You know what, Lord, give me strength. Let me do this in your power. Let me do this and that and this and that, and give me this and give me that." And maybe, instead of doing it that way, why don't we try this way? "Dear Lord, give Brother Scott strength to serve you in your power. And Brother Don, and Jimbo, and Matt, and Debbie, let me pray for them." That is what Paul is doing for this church at Colossae, is he not? He said, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will." God, show Matt your will for his life. Show Rocky some knowledge. He really needs it, Lord. I mean, Sebastian, he needs this. And then, in return, guess what? Sebastian prays for me. Will you pray for me, Sebastian? I will pray for you. And we're praying for each other to be strengthened in this thing. And we can be strengthened through prayer and supplication. Look, praying does not have to be selfish. Amen. Does not have to be selfish. It can be for others. We can be strengthened through prayer and supplication. Strengthened through the love of the brethren. Yeah. We're to love one another. And you know, it's easy to do. You say, "But not everybody's always lovable." Well, again, if you're loving the brethren in your strength, it's hard to do. But if you're using his power, he already loves them. How about we start there? God already loves them. Yeah. Every member needs to be strengthened. Go to Galatians chapter 6. Go back a few pages here. Galatians chapter 6. Every member needs to be strengthened. That's number one in this plan for stewardship. As we are strengthened, what are we being strengthened to do? We're being strengthened to sow the Word of God. That is our purpose in this stewardship. God has entrusted us. He has given us the gospel. And he is expecting us to sow it out and get it out there. In Galatians chapter 6, he says, "Be not deceived," in verse number 7. "God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to this flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth through the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. While every member needs to be strengthened, every member needs to be sowing and reaping. Every member needs to be sowing and reaping. Now we know through this passage that you're going to be sowing and reaping whether you want to be sowing and reaping or not. The question is, what do you want to be reaping? If you want to be reaping the blessings of God, if you want to be reaping the benefits of a steward, look, when you consider a steward, what is the purpose of the stewardship? When we could go to the Gospels and we see Jesus giving the illustration of the rich man that gave three stewards something, some money, some talents to do something with. One turned five into ten, the other turned some into not quite as much, and the other one took one talent and said, My master is a hard taskmaster. He said, I don't want to lose this. So he takes it and he buries it. Marks the spot. There it is. So when he comes and asks where it's at, I know where it's at. Sure enough, master comes back. What have you done? Oh, wonderful, thank you. What have you done? Wonderful, thank you. What have you done? Well, I know you're a hard man. I'm afraid of you. So I took mine and I buried it. I didn't lose it, but I've got it. Here it is. That man didn't sow it. He hid it. Squandered his opportunity. Wasted it. But he still reaped something, didn't he? He said, thou wicked servant. You see, doing nothing, you're still sowing. So how can you sow nothing? That doesn't make sense. It certainly does when we're talking about the gospel. Sow nothing, you'll reap nothing. No. You'll reap plenty. But it's not going to be what you want. So how do we sow and reap spiritually? He says in verse number 8, for he that soweth through his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth through the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So how do we serve, or how do we sow as Christians? Well, I've written a little acrostic here. If you want to write these two words, if you want to write sow and reap, just write them up and down, though. Write S-O-W, sow, S-O-W, and then reap, R-E-A-P. How do we do this? Well, it starts with serving. Sowing starts with serving. Where are we serving? We're serving others. We're serving others. Again, this is not about serving ourselves. This is about serving others. While. It's the W. We're serving others while reaching every available person. Did you get that? Sow and reap. What does it entail? Serving others while reaching every available person. When we take the gospel and we begin serving others, when we begin looking for ways to serve, when we begin looking for ways to do something, and at the same time we're turning around and we're looking around every corner, we're walking circumspectly as the Bible tells us, and we're looking and we're searching and we're longing to reach every available person. What makes someone available? They're not already saved? Okay, and if they are saved, I can still serve them, right? Yeah. So let's see. So they are available. Who's available? Anybody that comes in my path. They're available in one of two ways. They're either my brother, my sister in Christ, or they're available for the gospel. And guess what? I won't know unless I ask. Hey, do you know the Lord? When did you come to know the Lord? You can ask a simple question just like that. And based on their answer, hey. Look, somebody tells you, well, I've always known the Lord. They don't know the Lord like I know the Lord, do they, Brother Don? Well, I got baptized. I don't know. They're available, though. Talk to them. Guess what we're going to reap? Notice. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Yeah. Serving others while reaching every available person. That's the second part of the plan. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Told you we'd end there. We're bringing this to a close. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Every member needs to be strengthened in God's power, not our own. Every member needs to be sowing and reaping, serving others while reaching every available person. Number 3, every member needs to be seeking faithfulness. Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ, the stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. How are we going to be faithful? Well, we need to be seeking places to serve. The plan, if I could summarize this plan in one word, it would be that word, faithfulness. Just be faithful. Dependable. Accountable. Be faithful in what God has called you to do. We need to be faithful because it is what God has called us to do. And that is to serve Him. That is to share what He has entrusted us with. To invest it in the lives of others. The only reason, can I say this? The only reason to learn the Bible more is so we can share it more. Amen. It's the only reason. I mean, it's going to help us, yes, but as we know it, man, we've got to give it. Making investments in other people. We can see this thing grow. It's amazing how it works. I just have to be faithful in giving it. I can tell you this. If we don't give the gospel, we're not going to see anybody saved. Most people, Brother Scott, most people don't get saved by accident. They just don't. I mean, anybody here get saved by accident? How many of you got saved because you grew up in a Christian home? Your parents were saved. They took you to church. They raised you. They raised you to be saved. They taught you to be saved. Very good. How many got saved because somebody talked to you one day about Jesus outside of that? Amen. You put your hands down. Thank you. Anybody get saved on their own? I mean, nobody told you. Nobody ever gave you a Bible. You just woke up one day and found out and said, God, you love me? Thanks. You gave your son? It doesn't work like that, does it? No. In every person's salvation, there's been a human instrument, a tool that God has used to plant. I've heard people say, you know, people leave tracks in bathrooms or on tables or whatever, and somebody, you know, pick a track up and they read it, and you say, well, you know, they got saved through that track, and nobody was there to help them, but they read the track. Somebody had to leave the track. Somebody had to write the track. Somebody had to print the track. There's human instruments all over the place. Yeah. God chooses to use people like you. It ought to humble us. It ought to challenge us to be faithful. To be faithful. Every head bowed, every eye closed.